Between the rock and the hard place. They have the best record in the league.
Yeah.
They've been playing for the most part. Let's say 75% of this year, they've been playing like the best team in the league. But then when they lose to teams, like Orlando, three times, they lose to lose Miami. And then you think about these next couple. That's why I think this week is going to be a big week coming up. When you think about having the Knicks come in, you're going to have Brooklyn who is coming in. Lakers. So you have some really big games coming in here to your building. So we'll see how it goes over the next week and if Brad's going to feel any more pressure to make some kind of move.
The big girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
All right, it's another episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. He is Cedric Maxwell. I am Josue Pavone. And Max, this is what we were talking about a few days ago, right? In our last episode, why we didn't feel so great about this 9-game winning streak that the Celtics were on. And it was snapped a couple of days ago. And then came another loss, this one to the hands of the Miami Heat in a 3-point game. Or excuse me, what was the final score in this one? 3-point it was. That's right. 98-95 was your final score. The Miami Heat used a 15-0 run to propel themselves in that second half to not only grab the lead, but they held on tight, right, Max? What happened down in Florida, Max? I mean, you were there. I know this is a shorthanded Celtics team, of course. No Marcus Smart, no Malcolm Brogdon, two key distributors there. And, this team is banged up, which is what we were worried about going into it. But what did you see out of that Celtics Heat matchup?
Like you said, a banged up team. A team that has some swagger, but a little shaky swagger. You talked about the 9-game winning streak, and some of the games that they won, how they played. I don't think they played as well. They weren't as dominant as they were early in the year. A lot of it had to do with, not having the personnel. Al Horford did not play. Brogdon didn't play. Jaylen Brown didn't play. Marcus Smart didn't play. So you miss those four frontline guys that didn't even play. But no excuses other than the fact that you look at the pressure that they put on Tatum. Derrick White played really well. Rob Williams, great signs for him. Saw some good stuff from Pritchard. But I'm concerned right now when you think about other guys stepping up, shooting the basketball. And Hauser would be the one. He's that one guy who early in the year couldn't miss. You put him out there in those corners, top of the key, whatever it was, Hauser was dead red. In the last couple of weeks, last 3 weeks or so, Hauser's been shaky. And because of that, I think their bench scoring has been shaky too.
Yeah, I feel like this team was getting exposed a bit, right, in terms of their depth. I mean, no one expected this team to shoot so well the way they did for that to carry on throughout the entire season. I mean, that first month and a half was historic. You like to relate to it a lot to what Sean Graney had to say. He was highlighting how historic it was, but you always mentioning how it's a long season. This team has to go through it. And while we have to credit them for having the number one seed for a long time in the NBA, being the best team in the NBA for a long time, however, with that being said, though, the depth, I do think they're exposed here a bit, right? I mean, when guys are out, you can see they're a much different team, especially when they're guys and someone like Jaylen Brown.
Yeah. Any team, when you lose a star player, you're going to be hurting because of that. But right. I think that what you look at is the continuity, the structure of the team, the lack of rebounding. Miami, who's not a great rebounding team, are rebounding you by 10. Hightower was a guy who came in off the bench who really hadn't been scoring. He had he had a lot of points against you. Grant Williams didn't take enough shots for me. He hit the big shot to tie it up. And then the Celtics just couldn't hold on at the end. But a lot of things that they have to straighten up as a team. And I think, you're about to get it. You're about to get what you look for. You got the Knicks coming in here. And the Knicks right now are playing, they play hard. And if you don't play hard against them, you're going to get embarrassed. The Lakers coming in after that, obviously, you know how big that game is. Lakers, Celtics, anytime they play. And LeBron,
I think your boy Anthony Davis watched our podcast because he's playing now. Look what you did. You know,
street clothes is Charles Barkley.
He didn't like that nickname you appointed him. You gave him.
No, that don't give that to me. That was Charles Barkley who called him street clothes.
Well, he's not going to be in street clothes Wednesday night or last night, I should say.
Well, I think that you look at it in this way, playing against the Celtics and coming in being rested. I think is, against the Rob Williams, against Horford, the Celtics definitely, again, have the advantage if they rebound the basketball against a poor shooting team. Now, Hachimura comes in from Washington. He's going to try to change some of the stuff that the Lakers have been doing. Lakers had to get Hachimura from Washington. So we'll see, how he performs trying to pick that team up. But again, he's not a 3-point shooter. He's a mid-range jump shooter. So what are you going to get from him? Because how they struggle right now is not shooting the three.
Well, we also have a recent report highlighting the Celtics and what they plan to do heading into before the trade deadline, which I want to get to in a minute. But before we do that, that last minute of the Celtics game against the Miami Heat, I might be nitpicking here. You let me know if I am, but there was – mistakes made by the head coach and Joe Mazzulla and by the star player and Jason Tatum. And I think you know what I'm talking about, right? Like that last play, you got 20 seconds to send this thing into overtime, right? 20 mm-hmm. seconds. Mm-hmm. And the play, whatever it was planned, it fell apart because it was the zone or the Heat went into that double team as they slowly started creeping around Tatum, I don't know, around 11-10 second mark. Mm-hmm. I think that was a great opportunity for Joe Mazzulla to call a timeout. I mean, he could have called another timeout before that, but let's just zero in on this one, right? Doesn't call the timeout. Tatum throws the ball away. He waited until about the 6 or 5 second mark to throw a bad pass that turned into that was a turnover, but this is the second time in the last week or so he's done this. I mean, we talked about the Warriors game, and you hate the whole what if thing, but I'm telling you, when he turned down an opportunity to score over Steph Curry, it just really surprised me in that moment. Now, like that's been sort of the way we gauge Tatum at the end of games, like, or at least the Celtics as a whole. And that's a big part of it. Like he's got to, like, those are tough decisions to make, but someone's also got to help him in that regard. And I thought that would have been Joe Mazzulla in that opportunity to call timeout and say, hey, let's reset. We still have 10 seconds left. Let's do this again. Were you thinking the same thing in that last minute?
Well, kind of, but Joe Mazzulla, his strategy has been this, to let these guys play and play out of it. How many times that, the Celtics opposition will score and Celtics players look at the bench and Joe Mazzulla's like, let's just keep going.
Keep going,
let's
right.
play out of this thing. So I thought that he felt that Tatum couldn't make a play. The thing that Tatum did in the last maybe 2 or 3 minutes, maybe over dribbling, there have been more ball movement or take him off the ball. I thought that had been a better situation. Take him off the ball. Derek White, who had been playing well, get into a pick and roll with him and have some action. The Celtics had no action other than Tatum dribbling the basketball at the top, trying to beat his man, and that didn't work. So, yeah, you had opportunities. Again, you could have called timeout, but you could have just swung the ball around and maybe called a different play.
Right, and that's something that you have to do on the fly because your head coach not gonna call a timeout. I mean, that's just who the Celtics are at this point, but I'm wondering if that changes, if Joe Mazzulla is going to take that in stride and say, well, wait a minute, I should have did something there, like shorthanded team, no Malcolm, no Marcus, I don't know.
I like that. Shorthanded team, no Malcolm, no Marcus, no Jalen.
No Jalen.
Yeah, and you still had the Miami Heat by the short ones, but you let up on them. I think that the Celtics just keep playing. You look at their record right now, they still, I think, Joe Sway, they still have the best record in the league. I think West.
Now you sound like Tatum. Now you sound like Tatum or one of those guys.
No, I think that's a fact. They still have the best record in the league. Now, have they been playing a little shaky? Yeah, I'll give you that. But here is the opportunity to come home, regroup, bring your troops back. Hopefully, Malcolm Brogdon's playing. Jaylen Brown probably would be playing.
No Marcus so far.
I don't think you're going to see Marcus. There's outside possibility of maybe seeing him against the Lakers, but maybe not. But if you get Brogdon back and the guys that you have on the floor, if they play up to their ability, they could win these two games handily. The Knicks come in and, you know, they're going to have a lot of Knicks fans in the building. They're going to want to punch you in the mouth. You know, Tibbs always has these guys playing hard. So
they're feeling themselves right now too, Max.
Yeah. I just look at two very good games the Celtics have to play here coming up this week.
All right. So out of the Bleacher Report, my guy Chris Haynes has a report, and it's about the Celtics in the trade market, which is according to him, he's saying that they're in the market for a big man. Now that's been a conversation amongst Celtics fans and circles everywhere.
Let me do like this. Who and why? You have bigs, right? Let me just
say. Got bigs for days, right? Well,
you have bigs that can play. You have bigs that can play right now.
Right.
You look at Rob, you look at Horford, and you have a nice big coming off the bench doing a lot of good things for you. You know, he might be, you know, not be the fastest in the world, but I still think their bench play with their bigs is okay, is good. I want to see what they do on the wing when you don't have a Jaylen and you don't have a Tatum and they're not in. You have to have that other guy. And for a while, I thought that they might be, you know, thinking about going down to Washington. But, you know, I heard that they've already made some moves there to solidify Kyle Kuzma in the position where he's going to be there for the long term.
Yeah, that was a name that was brought up. But, yeah, I guess that one's out the window of possibility for the Celtics right now. But yeah, I'm with you, Max. I'm with you. I mean, a 3-and-D guy, someone that can help you when you want to give Tatum and Brown a rest because their minutes are through the roof right now. And, you know, someone that you can rely on for valuable minutes throughout the playoffs. I mean, the Celtics just, they haven't addressed that. Even last season, you can say the same thing, that they just didn't have that wing that can help you, especially on the defensive end of the floor. Back to Haynes' report, though, he says that if they're unable to make a deal, that they will explore the buyout market, which I think is probably what happens if they do address that. If they do bring in a backup big, it's going to be through the buyout market, if I had to guess. I don't know what kind of deal they could put together right now that would be of value. I mean, there's Gallinari's contract that you could put in there to get you a guy who's making, I don't know, anywhere around $9, $10 million to help match contracts. But you also have to put another player with that. And I'm assuming – probably an asset, right? Probably a draft pick if you're getting a player of some significance, you know.
Who really gives a fat rat's ass about a draft pick?
If you think about winning
a championship at the end of the day, if you're the Celtics, where's your pick at? Your pick is 12, 13, 14, 15. 16, 17. Now, they've done well sometimes with their picks late, but you normally you're not going to get anybody who's going to be an asset. I really get somebody who is proven. You give me a proven player over a player that, you know, that could possibly be, then, you know, I'm going with that proven player. There's going to be a buyout market out there someplace that a proven player is going to be, you know, there waiting. How about this? If you were Boston, would you explore the possibility of bringing Gordon Hayward in?
No.
Why?
Because he's always injured, man. They did that already.
I understand they had him, but when Gordon Hayward's playing well, Gordon Hayward's a guy that can give you multiple numbers, and he can put you in. He's a good defender. In the short term, you're not investing a lot in him. Could I get him for a bag of donuts right now from Charlotte? Probably, because Charlotte wants to lose. Charlotte is not in the position right now. They're looking at the Frenchman or one of those high draft picks. They might want to unload that.
With the way things have been for them the last 5 years or so as an organization, I don't blame them. Like, I would be tanking for Wembanyama every day of the week. Yeah. Matter of fact, if they're that close to getting him, think about those wins against the Celtics. All right, Charlotte, think about that. You know, like the Magic rather, right? A team like the Magic, like those three wins, like that, you're not doing yourself any favors there. But yeah, teams like Orlando and Charlotte, I mean, you have to. This is one of the biggest, if not the biggest prospect we've seen since LeBron James. So.
Yeah, that's a big prospect. So I'm just saying, those are the guys that I look at that could give me some stability off the bench. I don't care about, you know, a draft. If you're talking about a draft pick, it's like 5 or 6 or 3 or 4, 2, those draft picks like that, lottery picks, you know, 9 and below, then okay, I understand. But if you're protecting a first round pick and that pick is number 19 or 20, how does that make you better?
I'm with you, Max. I just think the Celtics are in a position right now where they have to tread lightly a bit, because they've been sending off a lot of these picks, man. Malcolm Brogdon wasn't free. I mean, that was a steal, and I give that's probably Brad Stevens' best deal.
Exactly.
But you can't just keep doing that, Max. You gotta pick the right people. He got it right that time, but
you got a Malcolm Brogdon. You sent away some players that weren't gonna play for you. You know, I like the name that everybody's talked about. I said, well, it probably won't happen, but everybody said float around. Daniel Tice coming back. Is there a Daniel Tice possibility as a big that can shoot? Everybody, they were just floating, laughing about it. Said you wouldn't be, but I'm going with the gusto here. I think that the Celtics are in a point right now, Josue, as your dad would say, damn if you do, damn if you don't. it's between a rock and a hard place. They have the best record in the league.
Yeah.
They've been playing for the most part, let's say 75% of this year, they've been playing like the best team in the league. But then when they lose to teams like Orlando 3 times, they lose to Miami. And then you think about these next couple. That's why I think this week is going to be a big week coming up. When you think about having the Knicks come in, you're going to have Brooklyn who is coming in. Lakers. So you have some really big games coming in here to your building. So we'll see how it goes over the next week and if Brad's going to feel any more pressure to make some kind of move.
This brand new episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast is brought to you by HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. You've got New Year's goals, and HelloFresh is there to help you achieve them. Skip the grocery store and take control of your time and budget with delicious recipes delivered right to your door. HelloFresh's festive fare collection features limited-time recipes made with seasonal produce and premium proteins. Get out of the post-holiday slump with these elevated winter classics. Fast and fresh recipes, HelloFresh's latest line of meals features robust flavors and filling portions, and ready in less than 15 minutes. For someone like myself who's always on the run, HelloFresh has made my life so much easier when it comes to cooking up meals. I can make them fast, they're really easy, and these are delicious meals for anything that you're into, whether you're into a protein-based diet, vegetarian, or even pescatarian. HelloFresh has a little bit of something for everybody. Go to HelloFresh.com/cornbread21. That's cornbread21. Make sure you use the promo code cornbread21 for 21 free meals plus free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/cornbread21. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
Because the thing we know, Brad, when you look and talk to Brad, Brad is cool as a cucumber. It seemed like he has no pressure on him to make any kind of moves, but he's made a lot of really good moves for this team.
For sure. For sure. And that first one was after what? Day one. He got the position, right? Boom. Traded for Al Horford. Huge. Like that.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, there's GMs across the league that would do that, but that's not easy. Like to trade away Kemba the way he did. And I'm not saying that was like a snake move.
But didn't he give away?
It was best for the franchise.
Didn't he give away a draft choice though, Josue?
Yes. Ooh, no, first rounder.
Oh, first rounder.
You can't keep doing that, Mac. I mean, like, you know what's funny though? I'm glad you brought this up because you could clearly tell, even though it's only been what a year or so or a year and a half, the difference between Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens, like. When it comes to those first rounders, where they're at right now, Brad don't give a fuck. Like, Brad's like, yo, I will sell these picks away. Give me Al back. Give me Malcolm Brogdon. Like,
absolutely.
I just think about everything he said about Malcolm as a head coach. Like, of course you made that deal. Like, he must have been He must have had eyes for Malcolm for over a year before that happened, you know?
I've always looked at
Malcolm. And he's not afraid to do that.
Yeah, I've looked at Malcolm Brogdon from afar and, you know, wished he had been with this team. And now that he's with this team and what he's able to do, and you put him up, okay, wait a minute, I got to give up a first-round pick and I got to give away. Man, please. Damn.
And I don't even think this team is championship worthy without Brogdon. I really don't. Like, that's how important that guy is, man.
Absolutely, because he brings a swagger. He brings confidence. He's able to score the basketball when Tatum and Brown haven't been. You could see, really feel with him being out for these two personal days of him being away, that it's a different makeup. And the thing about it is you've lost both of your brothers. If you're talking about having this ship, Marcus is a brother. Brogdon is a brother. You didn't have a brother out there. You didn't have the person, the setup guy, although Derek White played well. Now, the thing that I was telling somebody on air the other day, is Derek White, does he drink holy water? How many times have we seen this dude get hurt and he'll bounce back?
He was concussed in Charlotte and he played the next day. 2 days later, he was back in uniform. I was like, yo, are you good? Are you sure you good? Like, you supposed to be out here?
I was on air when he got hit and you could see it. I said, oh, man, he's concussed because he gets up, his neck whiplash, and, you know, I'm like, oh, my God, and they're walking off the floor, and he looks dazed. Right. I'm like, well, you won't see him the next game. Next game is Charlotte. 2 days later, he's playing. The other day in Toronto, he bangs knees, and he comes hobbling. Right. He comes hobbling down. I'm thinking, against Miami, he twists the ankle going in for a shot. Comes hobbling down and then starts playing again. This dude right now, I don't know where you got him from, but this is Mr. Durable, okay? Because I mean, I've seen less, and players, you know, are out and not in a position to play. So I'm kind of confident where this team is, and that's another guy we kind of discount him because he has blocked more shots as a guard than anybody out there. When this offensive game is on. And the little floaters and that little set shot he's able to get, the jump shot.
He's efficient. When he's on, he's efficient.
He's very valuable. But then you give a first-round draft choice to him for him too, didn't you?
You sure did.
You can't keep doing that. Oh, my God.
So you're going to do a fourth one?
You can't keep doing that, Joseph. You can't keep making your team better and giving up a first-round draft choice for younger players. This dude right there is in his prime.
Okay.
Market. All right. Brogdon right now is where? Is he in his prime?
Brogdon. At the end of it.
Brogdon's probably in his prime right now. So you're giving up a first round pick for a proven veteran player. Brad Stevens gets my kudos all day for that.
Brad's like, man, I've been trying to do this shit for years. Damn it. Danny's gone now. I'm going to do things the way I want to do it. That's why I never thought this thing's not temporary. I'm like, Brad is good at this. Like, why would he give this job up? Are you kidding me?
I remember people saying that about Brad. And I said this to Brad. I said, you know, Brad, people question, you know, the fact of you being now the big wig, the general manager of this team. I said, who would know the weaknesses or the strengths better than somebody who's been coaching this team for the last 5-6 years?
College background, knows everybody, and their mom's coming
Brad,
in.
Brad knows that, and I think he has quality people around him able to make deals. So I'm happy with the way this team is going. This team has, if they stay healthy, bright future, man. Really bright future. But you cannot help the fact that you have injuries, though.
Meanwhile, Max, that same summer, Danny Ainge, the biggest reason why Donovan Mitchell never became a member of the New York Knicks was because Danny Ainge didn't get exactly what he wanted. He said, you know what? I'm going to take this deal and go elsewhere. Called up Cleveland, and now Cleveland is a damn top Eastern Conference contender, if you will. Like, right? They've been there all year.
But if you're the Knicks right now, you look back on that. Do you give away first-round draft choices for Donovan Mitchell? You're like, look, you want this, and hey, help yourself.
Donovan That's exactly Mitchell. What Randall needs right now. A guard
Donovan Mitchell and Jalen Brunson. J- Jalen Brunson has been really good for them. He's done a tremendous job. He will be an all-star, but he is not Mitchell. Spider Mitchell, man, is in a handful of the most elite guards in this league. With his ability to score, strong strength, get to the basket. He's remarkable.
He would enhance them, enhance him, right? Like that combination of backcourt. Oh man, like if I'm a Knicks fan, I'd be done. I'm done with this team. I don't give a damn how well they're playing right now. Like they've been through so much, man. Like, oh man, it's just, I don't know. It's crazy.
It happens.
Could have been yours, New York. Could have been yours. But yeah, man, I'm excited about this matchup for sure. I think New York is going to try to prove, how good they are and how teams have been sleeping on them and, you know, Mitchell in the middle and all that stuff. Like, I just think it's going to be a really good matchup for the Celtics.
Well, you know, lastly, though, I have to ask you before we go, did you think about the Shannon Sharp apology?
Yes. Yo, I'm glad you brought this up, man. Like, what was that? Like 12 hours after we released the episode, he apologized. I appreciate it. I know you did. You're the one that was like, he should
no,
be.
No, dude.
What? He's in the wrong, but you didn't want to apologize?
Dude, don't apologize to the entire world. you can't go apologize to the entire world, Josue. I mean, it was like, why are you apologizing to LeBron?
Oh, yeah. Yo, he apologized to like 9 people. Yeah, that's true.
My ride and die, LeBron, I want to apologize to you. And maybe the Lakers.
You're the uncle. You don't got to apologize to him.
maybe the Lakers. I get it. But his apology just went too long.
I thought you loved it because he said he sounded a lot like you when he was like, I made myself part of the game and I shouldn't have done that.
That's exactly
what you were saying, though. You hated that.
Stop right there. Stop there. That's it. You don't go on and on and on. Why are you apologizing to John Morant and to his dad?
His dad was fanning, man. His dad was so excited to talk to Shannon.
And Dylan Brooks, you know, I like the fact, Dylan Brooks, I apologize to you. But then you don't have to go and say, well, now I know what kind of competitor you are and what makes
John Morant, the way you
and all that, how you can contort in the air. Give a damn about that.
He got too high off that apology, man. He got into apology mode, and he just got high off that shit. He was just like, I'm going to apologize to my mom, my everyone. Like, he just went in, man.
You know, he was – somebody need to have the third base coach over there when he was on second, going for home. He just was, stop right there. You've done enough. I love the fact that you took – I love that he acknowledged it. He took responsibility, but the run on was the only thing to me, which was, he said, I love when he said, I should have been the adult in the room and I should have lowered the temperature. You didn't come to see Shannon Sharpe. Shannon Sharpe should have been the afterthought. And I apologize to everybody who was involved. Stop right there. Stop right there. Don't make no more. No more than that. That was it.
This episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from NFL playoffs to pro and college basketball, UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code CLNS50 to receive all your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. But can you remember the last time you saw someone like thoroughly enjoy their apology? Like, he was enjoying that shit. Like, he just, that's what happened. Like, he just got, it was like a list of thank yous instead of the opposite of apologize. I want to apologize to this. You know what? Also, I want to apologize to my high school teacher. Like, I thought he was going to go that route. Like, I feel like he was thinking about everybody. Like, damn, Shannon. You got a lot to get off your chest.
He apologized to his grandson. When you see this one day, you see your grandpa. Now you're going to be like, what were you doing? I mean, You just went too far for me. That was all. I love the apology, but the run-on apology, that took it away from me when I thought about who he was and what he did. He said, I should have been bigger than that. I take responsibility.
He sounded like he was talking to you, man. Like everything he was saying at that point, I was like, that's what Max was complaining about.
Exactly what I said. You lower the heat in the room. You don't turn it up.
He even used that language. I turned it up. I was like, yo, that's exactly what Max
did. He acknowledged what we talked about, but when he started going on and on and oh, I want to apologize to my first grade teacher and to the lady who first, you know, and to my granny who was watching me from upstairs.
My first grade teacher, I swore that one time in class. I'm sorry about that, you know.
But when he went to LeBron, I'm like, hell, are you apologizing to LeBron for? What did he have to do with it? He had not, the Lakers, yes. The Grizzlies,
the fans and stuff. Yeah, you think about that.
Dylan Brooks, yes. After that, there should have been no more apologies to nobody else. I mean, I can understand why maybe his station, he said to the people who were at my station.
I think he started with that.
I embarrassed you, and I'm sorry for that. But after that, all these run-ons and all these add-ons to the next one. I tell you what, I hate for that dude to give me a Christmas list. Because he must have.
He's thinking of everybody. He's going to think of everybody.
The guy in the parking lot who parked my car.
To him. Get him a $100 gift card real quick.
Get him that to one. And you know who probably was smiling more than anybody? It was Skip Bayless. Was saying, wow, I had all this heat, all this smoke, you know, coming to me, and guess who takes it away? You did.
Telling everybody he's sorry.
Because everybody's always been on Shannon Sharpe's tip. They love Uncle Shannon, you know, all his theatrics.
He was a meme, Max. That whole weekend, he was a meme off of this. And it wasn't a negative light. It was like people were like, man, Unc, don't mess with Unc. Look at Unc.
Don't mess with Unc.
Somebody dropped a picture with him in that outfit. With the parental advisory sticker, it was like, yo, new mixtape, like Unc's new mixtape. I'm like, yo, like it was all love. Like that's why he was enjoying that apology. He was like, all right.
His apology was great, but I think what took it away from me too was what he said right afterwards when he said they didn't want all that damn smoke. They didn't want that smoke. but then you apologize.
It took away from the apology.
Yeah, right? that to me was like that part right there. You had a clear opportunity at that point to say, this is where I'm at. But then you go, they didn't want all this smoke. Hell no. I'm about to start a barbecue up in it. Jai's dad, T. Moran, they didn't want that smoke, man.
It's like, I'm sorry, but also, y'all don't want any of this.
I want to put
some hands on y'all. Like, it's like, okay. Right.
But I was impressed. I saw a tape on Shannon Sharpe working out. Whoo, that dude is a beast.
He's still
a beast. So
one of my favorite lines was, that was me out there. You know, because people would be like, you know, when they make a mistake, they're like, that wasn't me. Oh no, that was me out there, but that was a bad representation of myself. It's like, all right.
Is that you, Shannon? Yeah, that was me. That was really me. I understand. So to Shannon, you know, hey, this one's for you right here, bud, because I loved your apology. You became the adult in the room, and then all of a sudden you backtrack and start going into, I don't know, Willy Wonka or whatever it was. I'm like, okay. And I'm a huge Shannon Sharpe fan.
Yeah, you are. I'm so glad you brought this up, because I would have forgot. I told myself to bring this up before we wrap up this episode, so I'm glad you did.
You know I wasn't going to let the Shannon thing.
As soon as I saw that apology, I was like, you know, he listened. But then, I should have known that you would have been like, he took it too far. Listen to everybody he's ever done wrong. I felt like, damn, man. It's like, shit. To my first girlfriend. I should have never cheated on you.
to my baby mama, you know, to my cousin and them. It's like when he said to my grandson, I was like, damn. I was like, I mean, to your family, but then with my grandson, my daughter, like all my
to my cousin Jamal, y'all shouldn't have hit you like that. Like, yeah, you know, back in 95.
Ray and them, you know, I ain't, you know, I'm sorry, man. My bad, dog. My bad, dog. Oh, wow. At that point, I thought you should have did this.
I was wrong. Bad, I'm not too big of a man to say when I'm running to not see when I'm wrong.
But good to the chase. So anyway, you guys, we have enjoyed.
Hold on, Mac, real quick before we get out of here. I want to pick your brain about this real quick. Bleacher Report, another one from Chris Haynes, saying that no talks have materialized, but Kyrie Irving is all in on a new contract in Brooklyn. I know it's January, it's still early, but what are the chances, from in your opinion, that Kyrie Irving signs a new deal in Brooklyn?
Oh yeah, I think he does.
You think so? I think it happens, but it's like a 1 to 2 year deal.
I think it happens. I think it probably will be tied up with KD's contract.
Right.
I think they'll, you know, want to run right in the same course. But since, and this is my feeling and me alone, since somebody finally talked to Kyrie, and because I don't feel Kyrie's never had to respond to anything other than Kyrie. But when Nike came at him that way, when Brooklyn came at him that way, when the NBA came at him that way, and they suspended them and all these other things, you see now a more just like, hey, you know what? It's a privilege to be in the NBA. I am happy to be here. And I don't care what people say. And I've said this and I'll say it again. From an offensive standpoint, Kyrie might be one or two of the best offensive people that have ever laced up the shoes for the Boston Celtics.
Mm. Yeah, you said that before, man.
That's a huge thing when you think about, you got the Birds and you got the Paul Pierces in here, the John Havlicek's of the world. You know, I don't think none of those guys, you know, burn the house down when it comes to what Kyrie Irving can do offensively. He was just Kyrie Irving is on a whole nother level. With, you know, when you think about it, it's not a lot of guys in the NBA that I've ever thought about that I would give the ball to, maybe Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now, Lee, who do you give the ball to if you want the last shot? Give it to Kyrie or Durant? Kyrie or Durant or Steph?
Yeah.
Now you're looking. Yeah, I don't think anybody else that you could think of in this league that you go, well, I'd rather give it to, would you, don't want to give it to Giannis. You're not looking to give it to Giannis, you know, score and stuff, but you're not giving it to Giannis. But you go with the top people in this league right now, who you give it to? Maybe the Joker right now, you know, offensively, because, you know, he's going to be able to give you maybe more dimes than Kyrie. But, you know, you just say, I want to get a bucket. Kyrie's in a handful of players by himself in this league right now, and maybe to ever play in this game.
And Tatum isn't doing himself any favors right now, man. I would mention him a month ago, but not right now.
You were all in a month ago. I said, just wait, give us some time, okay? With this MVP,
he make is it sound like I was all giddy and jumping up and down. Granny was on that wave. It wasn't me.
You were very giddy. You were jumping up and down, and Tatum got this all wrapped up, and then now you're going.
Get out of here. I was now impressed.
Is Jokic running away with it again?
Oh, it's a one-man race right now. That's not even close. Celtics fans, if you don't agree with me, stop it. All right, stop it. You're lying to yourself. All right, are you kidding me? What Jokic's doing over there in the Western Conference? Oh man. It's insane. And his longevity. He's been doing this. He's still doing it. Tatum had his hot streak, but he's still doing it, man. Shout out to Joker.
Yeah. I mean, Joker's putting up a triple-double when he wants to.
Right. Carrying that team.
And doing it with ease.
Injuries, doesn't matter. Whoever's available, he's like, come on, guys, we're going to do this.
Yeah,
it's insane.
Because he might be one of the guys, again, at the end of the day, might be able to average a triple-double for a season. If you think about his ability to put the ball on the floor, to score, pass, rebound, there are very few of those guys in this. Well, there's nobody in this league right now that's going to be above him. I mean, the guy that I thought for a while you might think about, Joel Embiid, but Joel Embiid isn't doing
it. He was in the race for a little bit. Yeah, he was about a month ago.
So everybody right now was like running neck and neck, right? And Tatum had a slight lead, right? He jumped out early on. But
early lead, and then Joker, aka Usain Bolt, in this metaphor, freaking took off, blew these dudes into the dust. yeah, exactly. Remember when he did that shit? He would start dancing before he was about to finish the race, because he knew what's up. Like, that's what Joker's doing right now.
Usain Bolt looking around, he for 3 yards from the finish line doing like this.
To do that dance he did.
Yeah, so if he three-pieces, Max.
If he three-pieces, you got to look out Golden State too. Denver might. This might be it. It might be the year they break through, man. We'll see. But
I just, something about them to me is still, I don't know what it is, but they just seem sometimes shaky.
But the conference is shaky too, Max. That's the thing, and that's the Warriors. That's the Warriors.
Yeah, I looked at some of the standings. I said, man, the Lakers are way down there. They are. Way down at the bottom right now. You know, they're going on a little losing streak, man. They're going to be close to picking in the lottery.
Yeah, we're going to fuck around and find out. That's
what they're going to do. Yeah, that's true. True that. So, guys, again, we want to thank you for, supporting us. You mashed that like button.
Absolutely.
We heard from so many of you who've been with our podcast and have responded. We absolutely love what you say to us, and
especially the last couple of episodes, for sure. Yeah, we appreciate the feedback, man. I appreciate the love.
I did get very, very, very quietly. I talked to I went out and I talked to James Brown's guy, Maceo Parker's daughter. So I'm gonna have an episode coming up soon with Maceo Parker, who was played with James Brown, and he also was, which I didn't know, he played with Prince for a while. And the funny thing about it, Prince said, somebody mentioned Maceo Parker to Prince, and he said, isn't he dead? And said, no. And went and got Maceo Parker, and Maceo played with Prince. So this dude done played with some legends. I'm hoping to have him on with us and, give him the serious, serious stuff. And we're probably going to try to do it. I'm looking to do it sometimes during Black History Month, to put a punctuation on his significance and James Brown and Prince and all the stuff that kind of goes along with Black music.
Absolutely, man. I can't wait for that. That sounds great, man. Yeah, from everything I've heard, Prince could ball. Like, that was like a thing that was a part of his of who he was that people, a lot of people didn't know about. But the people who did know, they were like, yeah, put a stamp on him. He's legit. Like, he's a legit baller. That's cool. Yeah.
All right, my brother. We'll holler at y'all later. As we say, we're going to keep it. Shannon Sharp, we want you right now to keep it on the what?
Keep it on 100.
You didn't keep it on 100 this time. No, that wasn't on 100.
He kept it on like 90, I think.
Yeah, about, I think about 86, maybe. But when you got Shannon Sharp, these are our words to you. Keep it right now. Let's get it together, just wait. Keep it right now, Honda.
On 100.
Yep, that's it. We'll holler.
That's what we do.